The Bengals Beat podcast is proudly sponsored by 50 West Brewing Company. Now is the time to head out to the production works. It's where we've held our live BBPs. It's home to the incomparable madness that is the 50 West Punch-Out. The place is buzzing every night with sand volleyball leagues, canoeing, kayaking, cycling, trivia, running groups. It's all based out of the Pro Works down on Wooster Pike. You may even spot Optimistic Bobby preaching the Laser Cats gospel. Hope to see you soon at 50 West, where every beer is a journey. Come join for the ride. Welcome into the BBP. This is the Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat Podcast, sponsored by 50 West Brewing Company. Every week, your Cincinnati.com beat writers Paul Diener Jr. and Jim Lazarski take you inside the walls of Paul Brown Stadium. We're plugged into the club from the front office to the field. Win or lose, hiring or firing, we're always here to keep you in the loop. Let's go. All right, welcome into the walkout. It's the BBP from Indianapolis. We're here. We got a whole crew.
At a round table.
The table is not round, but there are four of us sitting in circular fashion.
It's the full complement.
It is a full complement of Inquirer staffers that made themselves up here, except for Doc, who finishes early, and he was able to. He's already on the road. He's probably home by now. He's already home. Paul Diener Jr., Pat Brennan, still pinch hitting. And pinch hitting like Lenny Harris used to back in the day, just always getting hits. Just 350 off the bench.
Solid utility option,
Pat Brennan. And then our visual journalists. And then my man who's the talent now, Kareem Elazar.
Designated hitter.
And Sam Green. You are like... Yeah, you're gonna. You had to take your time. You were a little hoity-toity, maybe a little bit. Now that you're talent, show time in it.
Whatever, Paul. Yeah.
Another great job, though, as well. Make sure you check out the post-game video on Cincinnati.com if you want to look at that. But anyway, so let's talk a little bit about this game. Bengals win 34-23. I'm curious your angle, you guys on the ground. Because we've got a lot of our observations are we may have just gotten locked in here by a cop.
I think it was security officer.
Security officers might have been unhappy with our presence in here. So if that happens, you heard it live here on the walkout.
This is our last ever dispatch.
This is this is it. We send our best. Give love to our families. From the ground, Sam. What did you? Anything stick out to you that you? You're particularly from the game?
I thought it was pretty cool to see John Ross get his first touchdown.
Nice shot, by the way.
Thank you.
You were right in the perfect spot for that.
He's coming right for me. He actually looked right at me and another photographer, Andy Lyons. We were right next to each other, and he said he ducked out. He thought he was going to get smashed, but John and I are cool after our big feature story that Jim and I did, so I knew he wasn't going to kill me.
Yeah.
He's not a very big guy either.
No. If he would have hit you, would you have just stood there strong and, like, you think, like, you could have, like, given a little lick to him, I guess?
I would have stood strong, and I'd be in the hospital right now instead of waiting to eat, but...
There's our first shot!
I wouldn't be okay, but better John Ross than Tyler Eifert.
John Ross only catches one ball for 3 yards, but it was a big one. I mean, that was the most prototypical John Ross small area quickness to create that space, and boom, Andy put the ball right on him. That was a huge play. I mean, they were kind of reeling a little bit, and to get back within one score right before half, that was a big play in the game for sure to finish that drive off. Kareem, we predicted that the Bengals would run away with this one, and we looked pretty silly early on.
I mean, I thought I was way off after that first half. They were down.
Down 16-10. 16. I mean, they're down 23-10 third quarter.
That's right, 23-10. But obviously, during the start of the second half, you really saw what we expected them to see offensively, in that Dalton was finding his receivers, and then Mixon was incredible today.
Yeah.
You know, that's when you asked, you know, what do you see on the field, you know, from the angle of the field? This is the physicality of his running style. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was breaking tackles. He was dragging players. Yes.
He wears on people, yes, too. And so when you see them doing what they were doing late in the game, I thought the drive at the end that took 5:50 and change off, I mean, it got the clock from about 8-9 minutes down to inside 4, and they added the field goal from Randy Bullock, who has a clutch gene, of course, even though everybody thinks he doesn't. But that was a huge drive, even though they didn't finish it. They ran the ball when Indy knew they were probably going to run it and were able to soak that time off the clock that made it so when Luck came back trying to go down the field, they kind of had a little bit of pressure with the clock kind of ticking on them a little bit. I mean, they had to throw it a little further down the field than they wanted to, particularly towards the very end there.
And it was a relief, at least from my perspective, based on what we've seen in the preseason and the lack of the running game.
Yeah.
It was a relief, you know, at the end of the game, that during the game, to see Mixon and the running game perform and get, you know, chunks of yards and take the pressure off Dalton and allow the receivers to move around a little bit and they're not stacking the box,
yeah,
you know, and bringing pressure. So that's one thing I noticed from the field, was just the physicality, how physical Mixon is. And, it, you know, as we talked about during the week in the prediction video leading up to this game, you know, I wanted to see Mixon as the feature back, and he delivered today.
Yeah, 5.6 yards per carry, which is a nice change for a guy who was in the low 3 yards per carry.
And he has so much energy.
In the
end of the game, he was still didn't seem tired at all.
And I thought the team fed off of him. You know, I mean, Carlos, which I want to talk about next with you, Pat. Carlos gets the penalty that what would have been potentially a truly game-changing play, where Fedulum almost had another touchdown other than the last one he had. But the call for roughing the passer happens. After that, Carlos comes right back, gets the sack that forces the long field goal that Vinatieri wasn't able to hit, and then Mixon just started pounding on him after that, and you felt the momentum switch after that. You felt it seemed like they were feeding off of those guys. But I want to talk more about the Dunlap thing, because we've seen this across the league now, where these calls are happening. Marvin Lewis sort of said afterwards, like, I guess you got to kind of turn and nestle him to the ground.
Yeah.
But what was Carlos, because you have the story on Carlos's reaction to that, and also obviously Sean Williams getting ejected. Those are up now on the site. But what did Carlos have to say?
Yeah, so Carlos basically said he seems to have a good working understanding of what the rule is. I don't know if he articulated that to us very clearly, but he knows it in his head. That's all that really matters. And what he tried to do on that play was plank. If you know, those of you who get out to the gym would be familiar with a plank exercise.
You do a lot of planking?
Are you a planker? I used to.
Yeah, I've never planked.
Okay, well, yeah. It's hard.
It's hard to do,
well,
so I choose
which
not
is
to.
Why he may or may not have been successful in attempting to do it over Andrew Luck. So what the referees called roughing the passer on that play that you mentioned with the sack fumble that very nearly turned the game on its ear, Carlos tackled through Luck, they're going to the ground, and then Carlos basically tried to catch himself on the ground as opposed to letting his full body weight kind of crush down on Luck.
You know what he needed to do? He needed to go like Sigourney Weaver in Ghostbusters and just rise up above and like do. At this point, like, it feels like that's what you almost have to do to avoid a call. Gravity wins, so I don't. You know that it's an odd thing.
What they're asking the players to do is essentially defy some of the very basic laws of physics.
Yeah,
seriously. It's a very strange rule. You understand the spirit of it, why it's important. Although some of the Bengals, as we went around the locker room and talked after the game, Paul, I don't know if you got any of this, but there was definitely some acknowledgement that Andrew Luck was the benefactor of being protected by that rule, whereas Andy Dalton maybe not so much.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Right. And that was what Marvin Lewis said immediately after the game. He's like, you know, I'm fine with that happening if that's what's going to call, but it's crazy that it wasn't going both ways.
Yeah, not.
And Andy's like, yeah, I mean, I got hit right in the head. I mean, and it's a blatant type of stuff as you can see, but not getting any of the same calls.
And that in that situation, you know, that could have traipsed into the targeting area as well, which was a call that was pretty prominent, went against the Bengals, not really heavily debated or disputed by anyone, but still, I mean, Sean Williams, you lose him late first quarter, but that opened the door for Fedge
to do his Fedge thing, and everyone yelling at him to get down, and he's like, nah, man, not when I can have my moment, and, you know, do the exclamation point with the barrel roll into the end zone. Did you get the barrel roll? Or were you in the? Were you out of place?
I don't want to talk about that.
You wanted it.
Sam and I have discussed, broken down that play and our positioning on that play.
Where were you positioned?
Long story short, when they were driving and it was a 4-point game, I knew that they had to score a touchdown.
Yeah.
So I went to go see. I went to get in position.
You're in the other end zone.
If they were going to score a touchdown.
Sure.
Because I saw Sam before I moved in my position in the Bengals end zone.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay, if something happens, Sam's got the backside, and if they score a touchdown and take the lead, I got the photo. So when that play happened, and I was like, oh, okay, Fedge is going to score a touchdown, I know Sam's got the photo.
Uh-oh.
Sam moves.
He moved!
He wanted to get in position for post-game stuff, which is also very important.
Yeah.
And I look over, and all I see is Sam's long lens. Sam vanished.
Yeah.
I don't know where he went.
What happened?
In preparation for the end of the game, I was watching the clock, and there was less than 2 minutes.
There was that play. There was 20 seconds. Essentially, I mean, you're under.
Right. So we're at like 1 minute on the clock, and I start switching my lenses out to get the shorter lenses out to run out for the coaches and the players out on the field. And you know, at that point, they're all the way down the field. I'm figuring that this is maybe gonna. Because a field goal doesn't matter either. So I figured they're going to try to go for it on fourth down and not get it and lose the game. And, so I started preparing for this end of the game one way or another, touchdown or, you know, win or lose. And he starts bringing it back right as I look up. And
oh, no. And here's the other thing.
I was the only person back in that end zone at all.
That's the thing. Sam parked the bus in the end zone, late third quarter, into the fourth quarter. He was there, in position, the whole game, that time. So I thought he had it.
Essentially, for podcast listeners, if you remember the Giovanni Bernard touchdown story from last October, where I was the only one down in that position and got that touchdown of Gio's, it was that story all over again, but in reverse.
But in reverse.
I got one thing to add on that call on that play, if I could.
You can. I mean, Sam's hungry, but
the one thing that Sam and I don't have the benefit of is obviously replay on the field and audio from a telecast or the press box. Mm-hmm. So when that play happened, I was just thinking to myself, what does a guy have to do to play defense in this league?
It's a big – we need more time to answer that.
Yeah. So I'm just going to throw that out there.
Yeah, absolutely. So final takeaway, Bengals didn't play particularly well. Colts gifted them quite a bit. But I thought the way that they came back to be down 23-10 and really kind of flip a switch – showed kind of a resiliency that I don't know that we've seen a lot from this team in the last couple of years. And for a young team, as young as they are, Lord knows we've talked a lot about that this week, to do that, I think it shows a little bit of the fact that they're good young and not bad. Last year they were bad young, where they were just young and had inexperienced. This year they're young, but they had gained experience. And I think that was a little bit of reaping the benefits, a little bit of the experience they got last year, even though they took a whole lot of L's. That... right side of the offensive line, still a problem. I mean, Bobby Hart, Marcus Hunt just completely destroyed him. We'll be interested to see what happens there, if there's going to be a considering a move or a rotation like we saw last year, because that was fairly ugly from him. Outside of that, 1-0, short week. Baltimore on Thursday, they're going to have to play better if they're going to beat the Ravens. Ravens who beat the terrible, awful, truly wretched and disgusting Bills today, 47-3. Both teams coming in with a little bit of momentum for a big Thursday night game. So
keep it locked to Cincinnati.com. Make sure you inquire Bengals app, and we'll make sure we get all of that. BBP, OG BBP coming this week on Tuesday, and then we'll be back with the walkout. So no deuce this week. We're going deuceless, but you'll get a second walkout, obviously, after the Thursday night game. So thanks, everybody, for listening. Sam, Kareem, Pat, all of us here. Doc on the road, already back home. We'll talk to you later.
I guess.